Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to today's announcement of Artificial Solutions Quarter One Results conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, 14th of May, 2019. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Laurence Flynn. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and welcome everybody to our inaugural earnings call for quarter one 2019. There is a presentation which we will be running through today, which is available on our website, www.artificial-solutions.com. It's in the Investor Relations menu under the Financial Reports section, and within the Financial Reports section you'll find it as the one entry under Presentations and Audio. So if you want to follow the presentation that is being given today, that's where to find it. So just to briefly recap on that, that's www.artificial-solutions.com, Investor Relations, and then under the Financial Reports section there is a Presentations and Audio tab. So to go through today's presentation, it will be myself, Laurence Flynn, who is CEO of the business, who will be talking, and I'm joined by Chris Bushnell, who is the CFO, and those are the only two people participating from the company as speakers today. As this is our inaugural earnings announcement, and a slight change from what we predict will happen in the future, we will just have a very brief recap on the business. For those of you who may be less familiar with the company and its technology. So Artificial Solutions is a provider of enterprise conversational AI software through a platform called Teneo. So this is a branch of artificial intelligence specifically focusing on conversational use cases for the enterprise market. So our software supports 35 languages, and it already supports millions of different conversations annually on behalf of our customers. Our customers themselves tend to be very large B2C companies, and we have a very blue chip customer base featuring customers like Vodafone, AT&T, VW, and so on. And we are a company of 110 staff, most of whom are in Europe, some of whom are in North America, and a very small percentage of whom are in Asia. Our headquarters are in Stockholm, and we have offices in 8 countries. Roughly 50% of our staff are technical machine learning and linguistic experts. So that's a little bit of the fundamentals of the business. Again, our customers are blue chip clients, and our primary go-to-market is through relationships with strategic partners. And logically, we partner with the same people who are selling services to our blue chip client base. So specifically partners like Deloitte, Accenture, or KPMG, or Sapient, or Cognizant. In regards to the specifics of the quarter one in brief, the main message from this call is that our results as reported, which Chris will go into the numbers of, are exactly in line with expectations. This, I guess, is not very much of a surprise since we listed in the NASDAQ First North market only 19 calendar days before the end of the quarter. So there wasn't much time for surprises in any respect, but the good news is everything is in line with expectations. During the quarter, I'm pleased to say that we reported advances in both our existing customer base, where existing customer relationships were both extended and increased, and specifically we did that with some of our major blue chip customers, And in the earnings release, we have named AT&T, one of the U.S.'s largest telcos, Shell, one of the world's largest oil companies, and Vodafone, a major European telco, as companies who both increased and extended their existing contracts and relationships with us. So we enjoyed growth within our existing customer base. But further, I'm also pleased to announce that we signed up new clients globally, one in Asia in postal services, two in the US in the government sector, and one in Europe in the airline sector. So not only did we expand our footprint in terms of existing relationships, but we also additionally added new customers to our portfolio and indeed made some very important breakthroughs both into the public sector in the US, which has a very large long-term upside potential for us, and gained another important account in Asia, where we have just opened up a new business office in Singapore, which is specifically to target the needs of our existing customers and our existing partners who have expansion plans within the region. Not only did we add new customers, but we also increased our existing partner relationships, again, with companies who are right at the top of the stack in terms of systems integration and delivery capabilities to the enterprise market. Specifically, we signed partnerships with Deloitte, and I think the most important thing about that relationship was it was very much centered on the U.S. central government sector, which is a sector that would not be open to us as a European software company unless we had partnered with a lead like Deloitte. So we're very enthused about that relationship and what it can bring. In Europe, we have a multi-geography arrangement in place with Capgemini, which we're equally excited about, and they add to an existing strong portfolio of partnerships who accounted for something like 50% of the revenue of the business in quarter one. The main takeaway numerically, which Chris will revisit later, is that our backlog, which is the amount of orders that we have taken but have not yet taken to revenue, so these are contracts that we have won but have not yet gone to revenue, is up nearly 30%. So that's a very encouraging metric for the business on a go-forward basis. Another major thing that we have reported as an event after the end of the quarter is that we launched our release of our software platform, the new release being known as Tenio Fusion. And I will revisit that as we come back after the numbers section, because it is an important thing to understand in relation to our earnings. So, Chris, if I could hand over to you to talk through the 2019 Q1 Q figures, that would be helpful.
Yes, thanks, Lawrence, and good morning, everybody. I'm going to take you through the key numbers of Q1 2019. And as Lawrence has mentioned, order intake is a key measure for us. Order intake we take as the contracted value of commitments from our customers in any period. Now, that number you'll see has decreased from 18.4 million SEK in 2018 to 16.8 million SEK. And the main reason for that is that our customers, as you saw from the previous slide, are major international organizations, and sometimes they don't move quite as quickly as we would like them to. But also, we're still in this transition between going from a direct business to a partner business, which a partner-led business where the partners deliver the professional services. So where we might have done deals in 2018 where we delivered professional services, that's not necessarily the case in 2019. So this was part of the planned transition of the business, and I'll talk a bit more about that later. As Lawrence said, the order backlog, so the value of contracts which we've signed but we have not yet recognized the revenue, have increased by 28% to 40.8 million SEK, up from 35 million SEK in the full year last year. And net sales went up slightly to from 12.4 million in the same quarter last year to 12.6, again in line with expectations as we go through that transition period, meaning that our EBITDA came in at 31.8 million SEK against 20.9 last year. Now, one of the key things here is that because of the successful reverse takeover into Inventive AB that happened, as Lawrence said, early in March, there are a couple of things because it was a reverse takeover that we've had to take to expense. So the first thing is that the goodwill that arose on the consolidation of the two companies of 22.1 million SEK had to be written off in the period. And also the expenses directly related to that transaction, the professional fees, the lawyers, the bankers, etc., of a further 4 million SEK had to be expensed in the period. So we're providing adjusted operating loss there to adjust for those two non-recurring events. And I should further point out that the write-down of the goodwill is a non-cash item. That transaction has no impact on our cash flows. So we have also had, during the period, an increase in our personnel costs. Again, that was part of our plan. We changed the mix of our staff. We brought on some new people in different territories, and we went through a normal salary review process during the first quarter, which meant that our operating loss of 30.7 was up in the end slightly over 28.1 million in the previous year. So moving on to the next slide. As I discussed earlier, we are moving more and more to a partner-led business model. This allows us to concentrate on the high-margin business. When we sell licenses and usage to our customers, we have very little costs involved with that. So that can be a very high-margin business. And our partners can deliver professional services, which is a much harder business to scale and is much less profitable. But the partners build their entire businesses on having armies of consultants that they can take to customers to deliver value. So as we grow the business and as we work more with our partners, we have expected the share of revenue that comes from that partner channel to increase, and as that increases, to increase the overall gross margin. So you'll see that in the chart on the right-hand side, if you look at the quarter numbers, Q1 2018, we did just 27% of our revenue from partners, whereas in Q1 2019, half of our revenue that we delivered to our customers came from the partners, meaning that we're getting much more of our revenue comes from that much more profitable license and usage element. And we expect that percentage to come from the partners to increase further as we go forward. However, we won't ignore our customers, we won't ignore our partners, we will still work with our direct sales team to support order intake, either in strategic deals where we want to operate with them directly or in direct support of the partners to help them to make sure that they're successful, particularly in the early implementations. Lawrence.
Great, thank you. So moving on from those slides, the next slide talks about an event that occurred after the end of the quarter, but which was trailed during the quarter, which was the launch of a new release of the Tenio platform called Tenio Fusion. This is a very significant release on the journey of the company, and therefore I felt it was worthy to point this out during our call. The launch of the Tenio Fusion does a number of things for us. I won't go into the details of exactly how, but it is a major differentiator in terms of the capability and intelligence of the native Tenio platform, which basically further enhances our capabilities and our competitiveness in the marketplace. So in short, we expect to be more competitive and to be able to win more deals as a result of the capabilities of the platform. However, that is not the only significant milestone in the release of the Tenio Fusion product. Specifically, we've also launched for the first time our new Tenio developers site, which is at www.tenio.ai. which is a resource targeting an extended developer community at work within our partners to enable their scalability of their entire delivery organization without the need for us to add overhead to our business. So this means that a development team in India working for KPMG can become skilled and capable of delivering services to their local customers without us having to provide on-site training or a large overhead in managing the delivery of that organization. So as we look to the future, Tenio.ai is a resource, and the large developer community that we will build around it further enhances the ability of the company to scale. Ability to scale, that is, without incurring additional overhead. So that we predict that over time, as Tenio.ai gains increased levels of traction within the community, this will further enhance our capability to deliver high gross margin transactions across the globe in the future. So the arm's length enablement of our partner ecosystem on a global basis is a real milestone for us. And it was something that was known. It was something that was in the company description by way of intent, but we've actually delivered it, and it's an important thing that underpins our high growth story. So just turning to that briefly, as Chris has articulated, we have done the things that we need to do to position ourselves for growth. Specifically, we have built a business model that is highly scalable because we are not dependent on hiring hundreds and hundreds of people to support our growth. And we have built a business model which focuses on the most profitable parts of our revenue stream. If we have to deliver services, we clearly need to have people to do that. Whereas if we are delivering either software or the usage of software as a revenue stream, all we need is some computing capability to do that. And therefore, as we write off our R&D expenditures as we go, the gross margin generated by our license and usage fees is much higher. And our business model, working with partners in a channel on a global basis, enables us to focus very much on those high gross margin capabilities and to deliver a scale of growth which would be only possible through having all of the tens of thousands of people in our channel capable of delivering services. The fact that we supervise 35 languages also differentiates the company and allows us the opportunity to target new geographies, which is what we've done by responding to customer and partner demand and operating a small sales support office in Singapore. So we predict, as we did in the company description, there's no new statements here, that revenue will shift to higher gross margin license and usage fees, as Chris had articulated. And there's already some milestone of that as we move from 27% coming from partners to 50% during the quarter that we're announcing the results for. Okay, so we will see license and usage grow as clients implement new use cases. So existing customers like Shell and AT&T and Vodafone, who made increased commitments to the company during the quarter, will grow as they implement new use cases or new languages or down new channels like Facebook or some other mobile phone application perhaps. And also as we add new customers, once they've been through their implementation phase, the usage fees will grow into the future as more and more Tenio-based applications are live in the marketplace. So the summary of this is that we've reported an on-track set of results which do not change our forward-looking predictions to the market as articulated in our company description. Specifically, order intake in the medium and long term will grow in excess of the NLP marketplace. So our prediction was that the NLP marketplace would grow just under 40% per annum. And we are still
giving guidance that the market should expect our order intake, that is contract wins, to run at a rate in excess of that 40% on a full year basis. We're also predicting that the gross margin for the company, because we will be focusing on the higher gross margin elements of our revenue stream, and because we have a global partnership strategy in place and we have a blue chip list of global partners to execute it with, we are forecasting that the gross margin will trend above 70% during 2020. And again, that means that obviously the higher gross margin business is more profitable and is ultimately more cash generative. And as a consequence of that, we are predicting that there will be positive cash flows from operations during 2020. So the main summary of what we've told you today is that the earnings that we've announced are exactly on track with our expectations, and that we continue to give the same guidance to the market as we did in the company description. And of course, that is not entirely surprising, given that we actually only concluded the transaction some 19 days before the end of the quarter, which has left us with a very strong growth in order an order backlog, i.e. contracts that we've already won that are not taken to revenue, which is very encouraging for the remainder of 2019 and beyond. It's also encouraging that we are building successes both with existing customers, and we've succeeded on bringing on board a number of new strategic accounts during the quarter, and therefore our growth both within our install base of accounts and through the addition of new name accounts are both producing results for the company. We have no change in strategy planned. We have successes demonstrable with partners. And although there may be variability from quarter to quarter about the ratios between existing customers and direct sales and partner sales, we anticipate that the trend will increase to our partner channel, where they will deliver both new name customers to us and also will expand within existing accounts. So therefore, our prediction is that during 2019 and 2020, our revenue will shift to higher gross margin license and usage fees. And that we are still, as a result of that, predicting that the order intake will track above 40% growth for 2019 on a full year basis. So that ends the fixed presentation. As indicated at the top of the call, we'd be happy to take questions if there are any on the call. Thank you.
Okay, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Okay, sir, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
So, in which case, I'd like to thank you all for your attendance on the call. We look forward to our announce of our Q2 results, which will happen in mid-August, and perhaps speaking with you again. Thank you very much for your attendance today, and goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.